You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to another Daily Racing Podcast from us here at William Hill. It is getting towards the evening now on Sunday the 5th of January. Another busy weekend of action has come to its conclusion. I'm delighted to say I've been joined by Sean Quinn, who's been on the retail service today. Sean, how are you, sir?
Yeah, very well, Ben. Yourself?
Yeah, not bad at all. Not bad at all. It's not quite been a snoozy Sunday. There's been some good racing over in Ireland.
There has, yeah, as you say, particularly in Ireland, over in Naas, where the undoubted highlight was the Lawlers of Naas Novices Hurdle at the Grade 1 contest.
Yeah, now, I went back and had a look at a preview that you recorded for us a couple of days ago for that race. In that preview, you not only tipped up Envoy Allen, but also called him a superstar novice hurdler and said that the extra trip would not faze him in the slightest.
As they come towards the second last, Elixir Dane, with on the outside Envoy Allen, four lengths back to Longhouse Poet, coming towards the second last, Elixir Dane, and Envoy Allen on the near side. Envoy Allen ranges alongside Elixir Dane, the pair are clear of Longhouse Poet, and to the final flight in the Lawlers of Naas Novice, it's Envoy Allen, Gordon Elliott's the real thing, over the last, a couple of lengths in front, Elixir Dane in second, and then Longhouse Poet into the closing stages and the Lawlers of Naas Novice Hurdle. It's Envoy Allen Racing's world, looks his oyster, and will maintain his perfect record in the colours of Chifley Park Stud, ridden by Davy Russell. Elixir Dane is second, Longhouse Poet third, fourth.
I think he's proven himself at 2.5 miles today. That was the one question mark he had to answer, although it wasn't really a massive question hanging over him, but all his form to date had been over 2 miles under rules. And look, he's just a very, very good horse, and seemingly a horse that you can do anything with. What I mean by that is he switched off beautifully. You wouldn't know that he was stepping up in trips. Sometimes an animal that's shown top form over 2 miles might be a little bit keen over further, but that wasn't the case at all for Envoy Allen. He settled in just behind Elixir Dane, and it was a push button job really for Envoy Allen when Davy Russell set him about his task. He went about it professionally. And in a workmanlike manner, his official winning margin was 3.5 lengths.
Yeah.
It looked between the second last and the last that it might be more. But I think he is a horse who just does enough. And I'm not using that in a negative sense at all. I think if a horse came and pushed him further, you'd see more from Envoy Allen. But it was almost a case of him getting to the front, jumping the last very well, and thinking, right, job done, race in the bag. Let's almost conserve a little bit of energy.
Like you say, then fairly comfortable in the end. Went off short enough, 1-4, and never really looked troubled. It seems that all we do at this time of year is kind of start looking further forward. And so when about 12:30 this afternoon, I was checking the anti-post markets for Envoy Allen. And when it comes to Cheltenham, Ballymore Novices 7-4 fav, Supreme Novices 3-1, Albert Bartlett 12s, and to win any race at Cheltenham 5-4. As a result of that performance, only one of those has moved. And that's the Ballymore being trimmed into 6-4. Is it safe to assume that's the direction? And if so, is 6-4 short enough, considering we're, 2.5 months out?
Yeah, if you're asking me would I like to back him at 6-4, the answer is no, despite him being a very obvious winner and likely winner of that race. But a lot can happen.
A lot of water to go under bridges between
exactly
now and then.
And I do think that's where he'll end up, the Ballymore, which is why I think he's shortened for that race. Gordon Elliott has said post-race that he imagines he'll keep him in his own grade this year. What he means by that is he's almost quelling talk of champion hurdles for him. That was the talk in the week, that he might head down the champion hurdle route. But it would seem prudent and sensible to keep him in amongst novices. And I would have thought it'll be the Ballymore that he heads for in March.
Does that have good repercussions and positive repercussions for a couple of the runners from yesterday? Fiddler on the Roof, for example, could have found up against Envoy Allen, but now likely won't.
Although I think Fiddler on the Roof's target is very much up in the air. I think Connection said after the race that the ground was very soft. They could head for the 2 mile race at Cheltenham, and if it came up quicker, they might go for the 2 mile five. So he's not certain as to which race he'll run in. But I suppose when you get to Cheltenham into them Grade One novice contests, you're always going to have to take on a very good horse, be it 2 mile, 2 mile five, or 3 miles. Yeah. So I think what Connections do is just run their horse in the right race to suit them, and
yeah,
whatever else turns up, so be it.
Interesting stuff. Fascinating, even this early on, to be talking about Cheltenham Festival and off the back of big weekends of racing. If there are any listeners that are looking ahead to Cheltenham Festival, head to the Future Races tab of the horse racing section to find out all the betting. Like I say, we have individual race betting and just for a horse to win any race at the festival if you are looking at those who have more than one option. Right then, on to tomorrow. As always, we give our pundit free rein to have a look at a couple of races. And on Monday, Sean, you've gone with the last two races at Ayr. Firstly, the 3:15. It's a Class 3 handicap hurdle over 3 miles. 2 miles, sorry. Read that wrong. So, just to run through the card.
Yeah, I thought this was an interesting race.
Yeah.
Definitely the feature race of the day being at a 0-130. That was why I picked it up. Small field.
Yeah.
We've got all day there, but the ground is heavy, Ben, so that's to be expected, isn't it?
That's it. So to run it through down the card, we have Calix de la Fayette at 5-2. Ocean Voyage, 3-1. McGowan's Past, 4-1. Ardera Cross, 5-1. Bull's Head, 6s. Ashjan, 9-1. With West Drive, the outsider of the field, 14-1. Where have you gone in this race and why?
I thought McGowan's Pass was very interesting. Yes, he's got to overcome a layoff of nearly a year. That might be a slight concern, but Sandy Thompson's got his team in decent order at the moment. His horses are running well. And McGowan's Pass, to me, looks quite fairly handicapped off a mark of 1-1-6. He only had one start last year that came at Carlisle, so clearly he's been a bit fragile in recent times. But you go back two starts at Christmas of 2018, he was fourth on heavy ground behind Cornerstone Lad, who is now of course a fighting fifth hurdle winner, off a mark of 119. He's, as a novice, he was third behind Tax Me If You Can in quite a decent looking novice's hurdle. He's not got huge mileage on the clock for a 9 year old, and therefore it's not hard to see him being able to progress a little bit off this mark of 1-1-6. And given his love of heavy ground, I thought there were all the ticks in the boxes for him.
Fair play. McGowan's Pass at 4-1. It was noteworthy, I thought, actually, when looking at this race, it's the only one in the field to have course and distance form.
Yeah.
Others have course form, others have distance form. Some have them both, but never in the same together. McGowan's Pass is the only one that ticks the box of being course and distance as well. So interesting to look at McGowan's Pass. Currently a 4-1 shot, sitting in the betting as third favourite. Next, and as we've said, we're going to head towards the last race at Ayr, and unfortunately, at time of recording, which is just after 4 p.m. on Sunday, we've only got SP betting. So stick tuned to williamhill.com, because all the betting will filter through. Aquitaine Boy, number one. Castle Russian, number two. Deluxe Reigns, number three. Democratic Oath, number four. Get Rich Die Playin' is number five. Mountains Con, number six. And Charm Offensive, number seven. Not an awful lot of form to play with this one, Sean. Where are we thinking?
I thought the Nicky Richards horse, Castle Russian, was the most interesting runner in this race. He was a 90,000 euro purchase as a three-year-old store horse. He's a half-brother to a bumper winner in the shape of Marone, which bodes well from here. He's got a nice pedigree, been by Fame and Glory. He's out of a presenting mare. And Nicky Richards is having a decent time of things and looks to have gathered up some decent bumper performers this season. He won the bumper at Musselburgh, it was, a little earlier on this week. So any money for Castle Russian would be significant. The fact that Brian Hughes is riding him is definitely a positive. And hopefully he can get the better of the Gordon Elliott pair, Democratic Oath and Get Rich Die Playin', and the Nick Alexander mare, Charm Offensive, who ran well on her racecourse debut up here at Ayr on heavy ground when finishing second behind She's a Rocker. I'm sure she'll run well. Get Rich Die Playin', the booking of Richard Johnson. That might suggest that that horse is the more favoured of the two Elliott runners. But as I say, Castle Russian, a horse with a nice pedigree from a yard that's having a good time with its bumper performers, with Brian Hughes chasing a jockey's championship, there are a lot of ticks in the boxes for me.
Without asking you to play trader, are you expecting Castle Russian to be nearer the top of the betting, or something more like Get Rich Die Plying to be sort of near favourite?
I reckon just because he's seen a race course, Get Rich Die Plying, he's had a run in a point to point, I'd have thought he might be priced up as favourite, but I don't think bookies will want to lay too big a price about Castle Russian.
Interesting to see how those odds do play out then. Hopefully they'll be available on williamhill.com very, very shortly. Sean Quinn, it's been a quick podcast, but a very interesting one nonetheless. So thank you very much for that. McGowan's Pass in the 3:15 tomorrow at Ayr. And then hopefully Castle Russian will be priced up in a tempting price as well for you, Sean.
Thanks a lot, Ben.
Thanks, Sean. I appreciate it, mate.
Racing Radio is available on Alexa smart speakers. Just enable the William Hill Racing Radio skill or say, open William Hill Racing Radio and leave the rest to us.
A huge thank you once more to Sean Quinn for joining us on today's Daily Racing Podcast. Monday the 6th of January, three race meetings on the horizon. Chepstow kick us off at 12:50. They have seven races. Ayr's next, six races for them up in Scotland starting at 1:05 before a twilight meeting at Wolverhampton starts at 4:15 and runs for eight races through until 7:45. You can join John Gibby, John O'Connell and Andy Holding on William Hill Racing Radio, and there will of course be another edition of the Daily Racing Podcast tomorrow.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.